The regulatory crackdown we've seen in China may only be just the beginning. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Chinese authorities today have stepped up regulation of online insurance companies, according to a local news agency. It said the regulator had said companies could face severe punishment if they don't stop improper marketing and pricing. The move comes after similar crackdowns on other industries in recent weeks, including education and technology. But these new rules are just the start of a broader effort from Beijing to tighten regulation across many sectors of the economy. The government today unveiled a 5-year plan for tackling monopolies and what it calls foreign-related rule of law. The wave of new regulations, though, have spooked investors over the last few weeks, and the BBC's Howard Chang says this wider plan likely won't help matters.
This is essentially a statement. The Chinese economy is becoming more central controlled, and it's less of a market economy. From the investor's point of view, if just look at the recent massive losses when China cracked down into the hundreds of billions, further capital control in China, and lots of businesses and individuals have complained they can't even move money out of China. One of the major investors in Chinese tech sector and others, Japanese SoftBank, and Masayoshi Son, who's the head of the SoftBank, just recently announced he's pausing all China investment pending further kind of clarification.
Why is that not a concern for the Chinese government then, that international investors could just pull money away from the country?
Of course, it is a concern, but when they see the economic liberalization is threatening that very base of power, the decision is quite clear. They have to keep power. And it's akin to talk to Kim Jong-un in Pyongyang. Do you want to liberalize your economy more or you want to keep your power? I think the answer is quite clear.
The BBC's Howard Chang for us. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, China's Shanghai Composite Index and Japan's Nikkei ended today's session down 0.2%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng shed 0.5%, meanwhile. Checking some other numbers now, European benchmarks are continuing to hover around record levels. New Zealand today said it will not reopen its borders until next year at the earliest. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said any changes to current restrictions will be careful and deliberate in an effort to avoid allowing coronavirus variants into the country. The BBC's Shaima Khalil has more on that story.
The border closure since March last year has severely damaged New Zealand's tourism industry and left thousands unable to return home. But it has been credited with helping the country minimize the health impact of the pandemic. Fewer than 30 people have died from the virus. The Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, said New Zealand was not ready to fully reopen yet, but she set out a phased plan towards relaxing the borders. A trial scheme will start this year, which will see a number of selected vaccinated travelers self-isolate instead of staying in managed facilities. Quarantine-free entry could be allowed from 2022 for vaccinated travelers from low-risk countries. About 20% of New Zealand's population have had their jabs. Ms. Ardern said the government would use the second half of this year to vaccinate as many people as possible.
That's the BBC's Shaima Khalil reporting there. To Afghanistan now, where fighting continues to intensify in the wake of U.S. President Joe Biden's decision to withdraw troops after 20 years of military operations. It's a move American allies, including the U.K., have also followed. As international forces near the end of their involvement there, the Taliban today says it's captured a 10th capital city, the strategically important Ghazni, which lies on the main highway between Kabul and the country's second city, Kandahar. Tens of thousands of people have been displaced by the conflict already, and they lack access to the most basic resources. The BBC's Yogita Lamai reports from Kabul.
When a private group came in to distribute bread and milk, fights broke out between people as they tried to grab what they could. There was a sense of desperation that hasn't been seen in decades in Afghanistan. We didn't see any government or humanitarian agencies offering support, and people were angry. They'd been left on their own. Malaka's sons are in the army. She said only the poor go out on the battlefield while politicians watch.
President Ashraf Ghani is sitting in his palace. He should come here and visit us. If he serves us, we'll support him.
To get to Kabul, They've survived dangerous journeys past Taliban checkpoints and active front lines. Gulalai's family moved from one place to another for 3 days before they got to Kabul. She has 4 children. The youngest is 2.
We were hungry for a week when we came here. Some Kabul residents brought us food and we found a place to spend the night. We want peace and security to return. My children are suffering because of the violence.
Many have seen their loved ones being killed. They've had to leave their dead behind to save their own lives. Most of the north of the country has been taken over by the Taliban now. Those who've escaped to Kabul are staring at uncertainty. American media are reporting that intelligence sources in Washington say Afghanistan's capital could fall within 90 days. A prediction that's left many here in shock and fear.
That's the BBC's Yogita Lamai reporting from Kabul there. Well, the German government this morning has threatened to stop sending $500 million a year in support to Afghanistan if the Taliban gains complete control of the country. In the meantime, the Afghan government is reportedly attempting to unite fractured militias against what it calls a common enemy. Stay with us. We'll continue to follow this story as it unfolds in the coming days. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.